Folding Pocket.
Before we get into this episode, which, by the way, is a very good one with a very big guest, you might have seen their name in the title, that's probably why you're here. But while you're here, we wanted to remind you about NordVPN and how it can help F1 fans all over the world.
And what a time for a reminder, because the season is about to head to Japan and then China. There'll be plenty of people trying to catch up on the action while they're away from home. People I'm insanely jealous of if they're at the races. But no matter where you are, using NordVPN to switch your virtual location can help you keep up to date with everything off track, and also help you protect your private data, your bank passwords, your, if you're using public Wi-Fi, if you're making travel plans, it's a safe thing to do.
Yeah, and I admitted last episode or the episode before that I was annoyed that this partnership had come along after I'd already signed up for a year's service, because I actually use this to watch the cricket whenever I'm away somewhere or whatever it might be. And Betty has got an admission that she'd like to make as well, isn't that right?
Yeah, Greg, I mean, I sympathise with your annoyance, because I only found out the other day that apparently I've been paying for NordVPN, because my partner pays for it, for like years. So right. I'm already on board the NordVPN hype, and I have been for ages.
Can I ask a question to you two people who pay for it? I know I can switch my virtual location to Japan from the Japanese Grand Prix. Can I switch my physical location? Can I go to Japan with it?
It's not the TARDIS, Christian. It's not Doctor Who's TARDIS.
No, but it's an investment in the future, isn't it? Because then if it becomes the TARDIS, you've already signed up.
No, we can't promise that Nord will be able to move people physically via the internet.
That's for sure.
But there's a good chance that they would be the people to do it one day. So, Chris, right. What you're saying is not completely insane, although it is a bit insane. But just to recap, to get the best discount.
So you said recap. Have they got caps yet? I asked that a couple of weeks ago. Can I have a?
We're not going to get you a Nord hat.
It's a shame. Carry on. You were doing a great job of the advert. Carry on.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/TFATC. That is the fast and the curious. Our link will also give you 4 extra months off the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee as well. The link is in the description of this episode, which you're about to hear now.
Hello and welcome back to The Fast and the Curious with me, Betty Glover.
Me, Christian Hugill, a very giddy F1 expert, Christian Hugill. And Gregory, I am giddy.
Not surprised. You should be giddy because, hello, by the way, team principal over here. We have an enormous guest on today's Fast and the Curious podcast. Welcome, any newcomers. This is a Formula One podcast for Formula One mega fans and the newbies. And it's co-hosted by drivers. We get as many drivers on as we possibly can, and interesting people from the sport, people that currently drive, currently work, people that used to work or used to drive. And that is where we're going to be focusing today. Betty, what's coming up?
We just love a world champion on this podcast, don't we? We just can't get enough of the world champions. But Christian's also buzzing because obviously we've got the Japanese Grand Prix this weekend. So we're going to talk all about that later. He's also particularly excited about the Formula One grandparenting thing that has been on display this week, which we're going to get into as well.
So this is where Alex Albon's nan bumped into Lando Norris at the airport, and is one of my favourite things we've ever done on this podcast. I put my faith in our listeners, and boy, did they pay us back. It's the best thing. Our listeners' finest hour coming up. Some amazing responses to this.
You've got to always trust the listeners. Yeah, some great stories of when grandparents have bumped into famous people. So let's get into our special guest then and talk a bit about him. As you said, we do love a world champion. Go on then, who have we had on so far then?
So we've had Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. We've had Max Verstappen.
I've heard of him.
And Sir Jackie Stewart. So by my maths, that is 3 world champions. Mm-hmm. And we are about to make it 4 because Sebastian Vettel is joining us today.
Yes. That's ludicrously exciting. One of the ones that's always been on my bucket list to interview. So I'm very, very excited.
Can I just check something with the Formula One nerd?
Hello there.
So Sebastian Vettel is our 4th world champion. and he's won the world championship 4 times.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Lovely little link there. Lovely.
How about that?
We don't mess around on this podcast, do we?
Yeah, that is a genuine coincidence. Yeah.
It is, actually.
He is undoubtedly a huge name in the sport. One of the biggest characters ever in Formula One history. He's one of those sports people that really transcends the sport. So people outside the sport will know the name, even if they don't know who he drove for or necessarily what it looks like. They'll be like, oh yeah, I've heard of Sebastian Vettel. Mm. But Christian, can you give us an overview for maybe recent Formula One fans as to why he's regarded as one of the greats?
Burst onto the scene when he was very young, similar to what Max did nowadays. Immediately impressed, made his debut for BMW Sauber, then raced for what we now know as RB, Red Bull's B team, and then took Red Bull to their first period of domination. Again, we're seeing similar with Max now, but, you know, Sebastian, from in those years he won the world championship from 2010 to 2013, he was sensational and had so many great battles with the likes of Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso. Then later in his career, he joined Ferrari and had some amazing title battles with Lewis Hamilton. A proper great, a phenomenal racer on track. And in his time, particularly 2010 to 2013, one of the best the sport's ever seen. And then, you know, we miss him off track as well, because off track, one of those guys that talks a lot about inclusion and diversity, a great role model, also big on the environment. There's so many stories like him staying to help clean grandstands at Silverstone, planting nests for bees. Oh, like
my favourite.
Yeah. The man's a legend in so many ways. Of course, finished his career recently at Aston Martin, and he's missed from Formula One. So I'm so excited to see what his life looks like now, really.
Do you know, I really respect people like this who just go, do you know what? I've done my thing. I've proved I'm good to everyone. I've won 4 world titles. I've made more money than I know what to do with. I literally don't need to work another day again in my life. Just going to go off and have a nice time. Just go, cheers, see you later.
Yeah, also, I feel like a lot of people don't know when to give it up. Like, there are so many people that just don't retire. And it's like, you could retire on a high. Like, there's countless, like, football managers where I'm like, Roy Hodgson, go and take a hot bath and give it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, a Roy Hodgson reference on a Sebastian Vettel-themed F1 podcast. Love it.
Really, really good.
Do you think we should probably get him on? Should we get on with it?
All right, then. Suit yourself.
Let's get him on.
I was quite enjoying the Roy chat.
Sebastian Vettel, welcome to the Fast and the Curious.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is a real treat for us. We're so, so pleased to get some time with you.
Thank you.
How are you doing today, Sebastian? Whereabouts in the world are you as well?
I'm in London and I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, if you're in London, we could have come to find you in London somewhere, secret location in London.
I have actually no idea where I am. I'm somewhere in the, not basement, but I'm safe. Don't worry.
You're worrying us now, Seb. I'll be honest. I'm worried about you because I feel like, have you been taken hostage? What's happening?
Are they holding you against your will, Sebastian Vettel?
No, it's all good. It's
good. Good. Weirdly, nothing sounds more suspicious than saying, I'm safe, don't worry. That sounds like a safe word. Yeah. Anyway. Well, it's great to have you on the podcast. We've got loads to talk about, but I just wanted to get in quickly because it's race week. I wonder if you still have the pangs of a race week. Or have you shed that now? Do you not even think about it in those terms anymore?
I'm not involved. So I am a fan, obviously, now, and I'm watching races the first time in a long time for the last year and a bit. But no, I don't get excited. Like, I'm not watching and jumping up and down in front of the TV and screaming and yelling. I do that when I visit a football match, but not when I watch a Formula One race.
who's your team, Sebastian? Football wise, who do you do that for a football match?
Eintracht Frankfurt. Yeah, Eintracht Frankfurt.
Doing all right at the moment.
Yeah, it's all right. We're, I think, P6 or something in the table, so it's all right.
And do you keep fit, Sebastian? Because most of the ex-drivers I see around the paddock still look in great shape. Do you keep that going, or have you taken great pleasure in relaxing a little bit more since you've retired?
No, initially I enjoyed the fact that I didn't have to do anything, but I've always liked to train. So it didn't take long before I was getting back into a sort of rhythm. And now I'm usually waking up early and then train for an hour or two. And I try to do it every day. I'm not succeeding every day, but most days. So I would say I'm in good shape because I, you know, compared to all those years I've been traveling, I get regular sleep. I have sort of a, you know, different structure now in my life. But I enjoy being active, and I love sports.
What do you do, Seb, to sort of keep yourself fit and healthy, but also, like, I don't know, do you have any like extra minerals that you put into your body, or do you do anything just to keep that energy quite high?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, I've always liked endurance. So I'm running, I'm cycling, and, you know, obviously I've become very much aware in terms of what I'm putting into my body. I've, you know, tried a lot of stuff, especially during racing inside the car. And it was only until the last couple of years in my racing that I found a product that, really was a bit different and excited me. Because beforehand, you know, everything that I sort of carried around in the car, in the drinks bottle, any sort of powder or gel, came with some nasty side effects, mostly stomach cramps with the G-force, as you can imagine, things are moving around. So I discovered this drink, and I'm, you know, got involved more towards the end of my career. The drink is today called Purple. We are launching it. That's why I'm in London. And it's Purple with an E, not with a U, because it stands for performance, the first three letter in pleasure.
Oh.
Exactly. So I think it's pretty clever, but it's even more clever because the product works. I didn't have any of these nasty side effects. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's been a game changer, and you've got the bike in the back, so you should give it a go as well.
I have. Yeah, Sebastian's noticed in the podcast room, I've got this this Watt bike behind me because it's a multi-purpose room. My wife Bella absolutely hates that it's known as the podcast and exercise room. But actually, for me, that is performance and pleasure because I perform on the podcast. It's a pleasurable experience, but I also perform and have great pleasure on the bicycle behind me. So are you saying that I should be drinking Purple while I'm doing my Watt bike?
Yeah, you should. And I think it's, you know, obviously the history is from, you know, high or elite performance, but the same rules apply to everyone. You know, if you go for a run or you play squash or tennis, I don't know, once a week, doesn't matter.
Sebastian, I've got an idea. And if you've not thought of this, you can have this. Obviously, Purple is like fastest lap in Formula One, isn't it? Go Purple. Was that part of it? Or is that a new thing?
No, because actually it's P-E-R and not not like the color purple.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so if that excites you, then you can think about Purple Sector whilst you enjoy the drink.
I will. Thank you.
We had someone who you know very well on the last podcast. We had Bernie Collins on the last episode. And we were talking to Bernie about racing and Formula One in particular creeping into your everyday life. So the reason I asked that question at the start about it seeping into you, because there are bits in your life where you'll be timing something. You might be cooking and go, I've got a minute left on that. I wonder if that's completely gone from your head. You know, are you very good at timekeeping now when you've got meetings to go to? Are you, when you're driving, do you sort of subconsciously take the racing line around a country lane? What does that still happen?
Yeah, the racing line happens. I mean, obviously it depends if it's, you know, heavy traffic and stuff, you can't really do it. But cutting a corner here and there, yes. And I don't think it's illegal either. But I've calmed down a lot. I mean, I was racing in the past in the supermarket, trying to be the first and, you know, overtake the final meters to get and stuff like that. But I've calmed down. I need to be responsible nowadays. I'm a father of three kids, so I need to set an example as well. But every now and then, little bits still creep into life, for sure.
I mean, it would be an absolute life moment if you're in Tesco and suddenly you get overtaken by Sebastian Vettel.
If I was in Tesco's and I saw you, I'd be like, right, I'm overtaking him. There's no way he's winning this one.
Yeah.
Seb, you've been out of Formula One for a while now. Do you still keep in touch with the paddock at all? Do you still message anyone? I know you said in the media that you've been texting Toto Wolff a little bit. What's that been about?
Yeah, I've been in contact with most teams because I'm also trying or thinking of some events potentially this year together with Formula One. To pitch them or launch them, speaking to all the teams, also to Toto. And of course, you also talk a lot about what's going on, but it wasn't the main topic. I didn't call to ask for a seat or to ask for a drive.
But, four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel, he drove for Red Bull, he drove for Ferrari. If Toto said, do you fancy it, Seb? Lewis is off. We didn't expect that. That caught us by surprise. We need someone who can, we need someone who can jump in, and we need someone who's experienced but got some life in them yet, because you're about 30 years younger than Fernando, Seb, aren't you? You wouldn't turn it down, surely. You'd go for that drive if Toto said, come on. Come and have a couple more seasons. Surely you would.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I retired not to, come back, but I did say that you never know. And, circumstances, whatever feelings, you never know what happens and might change. So currently it's not number one on the list to think or worry about. But of course, I had thoughts crossing my mind. I'm following the sport. I see what's going on. You'd be ignorant or blind if you don't see opportunities or things that are moving. Yeah, I haven't given them much more thought. So,
So basically, Christian, off. But Seb, I'd love to get your take on what's happened, because there have been seismic moves, or one big seismic move really, which is the Lewis Hamilton move to Ferrari.
Yeah, big surprise. I mean, I think similar to everyone else, I didn't expect, but he seems happy about the choice, so that's ultimately what matters. But with that, obviously now things are moving around and potential seats become free, obviously the one at Mercedes, but there's other drivers that haven't got a contract for next year. So it's not rocket science to understand what's going on and to see the vacancies and possibilities. But like I said, obviously I did say goodbye to Formula One for a lot of reasons. There's reasons why I don't miss Formula One, but there's also reasons why I do miss Formula One. So the format hasn't changed. There's still 24 races. It's still a big commitment. Mm. And so on. But if you're offering me a part-time job, I mean it straight away.
Seb, you were quite close with Lewis, particularly towards the end of your career, and you know what it's like, obviously, the pull of Ferrari. Did he ever express sort of interest to you about joining Ferrari, especially when you did it? Say, I quite fancy that one day.
No, I don't think he did at that period, because he was beating us. So I think he was happy where he was.
So he was going to stay put.
Yeah, exactly. So, So the answer is no. But for him, I think it seemed appealing and a huge challenge. So I can understand that Ferrari does have something different. And at some point in your career, you might be curious. I mean, for me, growing up, Michael being my hero, he was in the red car. There was always sort of that connection. I didn't win the championship with Ferrari, but I don't want to say it was Lewis's fault. It was my own shortcoming.
I don't want to say it was Lewis's fault, but it was. Yeah.
A little bit like saying, I'm definitely safe in my weird bunker. Please don't worry. I'd love to get your take on some of the newer, younger drivers. You started famously very, very young yourself, and people like Oscar Piastri, who's been on this podcast a lot. He's one of our regular co-hosts. He's had a phenomenal first season and looking pretty good so far, and looking like he's about to step up. Who excites you when you watch a race now? Who are the ones that you can't take your eyes off, and you're always checking the timings and seeing if they're improving?
You're right. Oscar was very exciting last year. Obviously, it was a strong rookie season, but I think obviously there's a lot of talk about it. But I think Max, the way he stepped up, the level at which he's driving, the perfection he's close to achieving every single weekend. Mm. Other than that, I think there's exciting drivers trying to push through, even though they haven't quite managed, but there's huge potential. Drivers like George, Lando, Charles, you mentioned Oscar. I'm sure I forgot one or the other, but I think Yuki also has a strong tendency and growth in the last 1.5 years, which is great to see. It will be interesting to see what's happening, in the future with those sort of, kids taking over.
Seb, I just want to pick up on something you said a couple of answers ago. Did you say you were looking for a part-time job in Formula One and you'd take it?
Not all of the jobs, but if there was one where you could just turn up and race in Japan, I'd definitely be in, yeah.
What about Sebastian Vettel? You could come on our podcast. You could be a regular co-presenter. Yeah. Mm. That could be a good part-time job.
Thank you, but I'm happy in my safe bunker.
You stay in your little safe bunker.
Suddenly, suddenly his internet's going to drop and he's never going to speak to us ever again.
We had a go.
But that's quite fun. If there's a team that needs a reserve driver one weekend, you'd be up for it. And is your neck ready to go? Because the neck's a huge thing, isn't it, as we've learned?
No, the neck is probably not ready to go because it's, really the best training is driving the car. The rest, I think, is pretty much okay. I feel good. I mean, as I said, I'm working out a lot. I'm keeping fit because I enjoy it. I think I'm not, I haven't fallen off in terms of physical level, but surely the neck would be the one exposed. But then it depends on the track. But it will also depend on the car. So it's all hypothetical and doesn't make a lot of sense to talk about it. Yeah. But sometimes it's fun.
It's always fun. It's always fun, Sebastian. Please just indulge us with these fantasies. They're always really, really fun. When was the last time you drove really fast and you loved it? You were driving in a Porsche recently, weren't you?
Yeah, I was going to say last night in my dreams, because it's always fun. No, but I did. I did test the LMDH car, so the hypercar, current hypercar. I was just curious how they felt, and it was good fun. It was nice to be behind the wheel after 1.5 years of absence. So I did enjoy that, yeah.
We've spoken a bit about the on-the-track sort of stuff, but there's been a lot happening in Formula One off the track. And obviously now you're not really involved in the sport, you can sort of take a step back and look at it from sort of afar. How do you think Formula One is doing sort of dealing with the culture around the sport at the moment and obviously all the stories that are going on from Christian Horner, etc.?
Well, as you said, I'm watching from afar, so I'm quite far. I'm not following the news that close. I'm mostly tuning into the sessions and the race and I'm qualifying in race. So all the stuff off track usually hasn't really got my attention, and that hasn't changed. So obviously, you hear and you know what's going on. And I think the line, or if you want to draw a conclusion, is that more transparency would probably help to form a better conclusion or make an opinion, because right now it seems very difficult because you hear all sorts of things from all sorts of sources. So I think for the sport, you have a sort of responsibility to open up and to become more transparent and speak about these things so that everybody understands what's going on. At the same time, I can see it's a fine balance because you've got private matters and, where you want to protect sort of private things. But like I said, I'm not following that close, like everyday headlines and news. But I think in the big picture, we all wish for a bit more transparency.
Seb, you were so good at speaking on the off-track stuff when you were on track, and not all sort of top-level athletes, world champions in your case, do that. And I mean, I'm one of the very few gay F1 broadcasters. So when you turned up in Hungary a few years ago and spoke up for LGBT rights there, I massively appreciated that, like hugely appreciated it. It makes such a difference to hear people like yourself sort of stick up for causes like that. So I thank you, really appreciate it. And I know so many others did.
Very welcome. Yeah.
Why were you so keen to do that when you were racing?
I think you always have, always have an opinion. Whether it's right or wrong, it's, a difficult one sometimes to draw a line or to judge. But I think when it comes to certain things, when it comes to people's freedoms respecting the way people live, decide to live, when it comes to our future and future generations' life, I think it is, there's certain topics that are just too big and you can't, the times have changed, and I think you can't not speak about them. It's honestly also something that I sort of underestimated early in my career, the not power, but the positive impact you can have and inspiration you can be to people outside.
It is very much appreciated. And it's a legacy, your legacy that carries on today. It is appreciated.
Thank you.
Sebastian, before we let you go, I would love just to get your quick take on the Japanese Grand Prix, which we're about to experience. Not only the bees that were introduced by you, are the bees still there at that circuit?
Yeah, so it's not just bees, it's a lot of insects. And we obviously last year had the project together with Formula One to raise awareness around the loss in biodiversity. So we had 11 huts that we installed and, filled together with the drivers to, hopefully have lots of accommodation for all sorts of insects and provide nesting grounds, etc. Three of those huts are still in Suzuka. The other eight had to move, and we're lucky that we found a new home.
Great.
A little bit outside Suzuka, or quite a bit outside Suzuka, at the Yamada Bee Farm. And they're now, they can now be seen by a different audience. They're used for research purposes as well. So I'm very happy about that. So the small legacy will remain in Suzuka.
Yeah.
And the main one will have a new home. So, they still do exist.
That's lovely. And what sort of race do we think the bees are going to watch this weekend?
What do you think? You're the experts, by the sounds of it. You're a lot closer than I am today.
Sebastian, I'd say you're defo the expert in this conversation. If anyone's going to know who's going to win in Japan, I think it's going to be you.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to be much of an expert. I think Max is the favorite. And, if his brakes don't fail, then he will probably win the race. From a spectator's point of view, I wouldn't mind also if it's a lot closer and we have a strong fight at the front.
Sebastian, we've loved having you on this podcast. Absolutely loved it. And listen, if you ever change your mind about that part-time job in Formula One, we can offer you a regular seat on this podcast. If ever you change your mind, we're here for you.
Thank you very much.
We go fast, Sebastian.
And curious.
And curious.
Thank you so much, Sebastian.
Thank you. Take care.
And there goes Sebastian Vettel.
He got our tagline straight away, didn't he? God, look, he was on it.
Christian, first of all, are you happy with that? And second of all, he's not letting that go. He's not saying he's not going to come back to F1, is he? He really isn't. It's open-ended.
I never thought I'd interview Sebastian Vettel. I was sat there watching it as a kid. That's mad, so that's brilliant. But Greg, no, because he's not. He retired from Aston Martin. They weren't doing what he wanted them to do. He lost his seat at Ferrari. But any of these greats, Jenson Button, who's older than Seb, if Toto offered him Lewis a seat, you're going to take it. Damon Hill, he's going to take it. Seb's going to take it. They never properly switch off. So God, I'm sure he'd take that seat if Toto offered it him.
But do you know what? He's probably living his best life with his bees and everything, isn't he? Like, he might...
I know. He'd have that seat. They're a different breed, these racing drivers. He'd take that seat. Trust me. I was about to say I put my house in it. I haven't got a house. If I had a house, I'd put a house on it.
He was quite interested in the exercise bike behind me because he's a keen cyclist, isn't he? But yeah. I also wonder what he thought of my Thunderbird's Tracy Island in the background as well. This got a bit of chat last week because it's relatively a new addition to the podcast room. Have you noticed this?
No, I've not noticed that, no.
Thunderbirds are go!
So there was quite a few comments last week about the thing that was lurking in the background of my shot on this podcast. People watched it on YouTube or whatever. And I wanted just to confirm to everyone that that is an original Tracy Island from the 90s. And do you have any idea how sought after this was in Christmas 1993, I think it was?
Oh, I bet it was. It doesn't surprise me. And I've got, Betty takes the mickey out of me for my models, so I've got huge respect for this. This is up my street.
This.
Look at that.
This sold out. In the 90s at Christmas.
Wow.
So Thunderbird's Tracy Island is where the Thunderbirds used to live. And this is a plastic island with sort of movable... It's got a swimming pool that opens and inside Thunderbird 1 comes out of it. So that was where one of them came out of. Thunderbird 2 came out of a cave and it's got a little runway thing.
Oh, wow.
A mate of mine who's been on this podcast, Johnny Smith.
Johnny Smith, friend of the podcast.
He said he had one original boxed. He said he doesn't want it, and he gave it to me as my birthday present.
How does Bella feel about this?
Great question.
Hates it. Absolutely hates it.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, if you're listening to this now and you don't give a shit about it, divide that by 1,000,
yeah,
and that's how little a shit Bella gives about it.
I think I'm with Bella on this, if I'm honest.
Sebastian Vettel picked up on the bike, but not the thing you'd have liked him to pick up on.
And this is the original box for it, by the way. Yeah. It's probably worth quite a few quid, this.
Anyway, shall we talk about the Japanese Grand Prix in a little bit more detail?
Well, before we do, I want to talk about our listeners, because they've excelled this week. So for those that don't know, Alex Albon posted a picture of his nan, who had bumped in to Lando Norris at the airport.
Oh.
This immediately excited me, and I love a niche question. So I decided, with the help of Team Fast and Curious social media, to ask our listeners, when have your grandparents bumped in to a celebrity? Now, I didn't know how this would go. I was putting my sort of reputation on the line here. Our listeners delivered, guys. Our listeners really delivered in terms of when have your grandparents bumped into a celebrity.
Yeah, some of the replies are absolutely incredible. Alex came in with a good one here. He said, years ago, my grandparents owned a garage in rural Wales. One day, a very handsome chap came in to pick his car up that had been in for valet. It was Hugh Grant. He was filming nearby. My grandma only realised when she read the cheque.
Jess says, my grandparents once saw One Direction having a drink in an empty hotel bar in Manchester. They asked for a photo and said no because they were too tired. Incredible.
No.
Alex says, my gran used to have some posh friends in Surrey who'd invite her round once a fortnight or so. One day she went round theirs and having a cup of tea, the doorbell goes, it's the neighbour, Cliff, who popped in. Cliff Richard.
Incredible.
Slightly dark one from Hannah, who says, not my grandparents, but my parents almost had a head-on crash with Carlos Sainz Sr. in Italy.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Which is really... really quite a weird one.
I really like this one from Jen. I think she's potentially won this. She said, many years ago, my grandparents were flying from Ireland to Switzerland for a cheeky little ski holiday on a chartered flight. On a chartered flight. The pilot came out to introduce himself, and it was Niki Lauda.
Incredible.
Why was he flying the plane?
Oh, they love it, because F1 drivers do that sort of thing.
He had his own airline, didn't he, actually?
Yes, he did. I think he did, yeah. But I actually think that Greg will prefer Rachel Fairley's, because it's one of Greg James's absolute favourites. If anyone listens to him on the radio, will know. My grandma Ainsley Harriet at Disneyland Paris and was absolutely buzzing. She told him she watches all his TV shows, legends. There you go, Greg, and Ainsley Harriet reference for you on the podcast. Does that beat Niki Lauda?
Fantastic. Well, unless Ainsley Harriet has his own airline at some point, which I'd fly on the whole time.
Well, keep all of these coming in because I'm absolutely loving them.
Oh, they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
All the usual places at Fast Curious Pod on social media and you will find us.
Come on then, bit of Japan and a Chloe Grant update and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, what do we need to keep an eye on, Christian, in Japan?
It is a brilliant track. It often causes absolute chaos because it's quite thin and there's good old-fashioned gravel traps. So if you make a mistake, you're kicking up gravel and dirt and you've beached your car. As Bernie said on the podcast last week, it's the only figure of eight track. So it goes up and over the bridge, which is always nice to see. The Japanese fans are incredible. They absolutely love it. They're wild. And last year, a double podium for McLaren. So we're hoping that McLaren do well again this weekend because that would give us some... McLaren news.
Yeah, Lando Norris said that they really like this track.
They like the circuit. Yeah, they do well. And also rumours of potential Red Bull upgrades, which of course they need, don't they?
Yeah, but maybe if they might overdo it and it might go wrong. Who knows?
Maybe. Mm.
So that's good. We'll have a podcast after that to have a bit of reaction. Hopefully some exciting stuff happens. Speaking of exciting stuff, let's cross live now to Chloe Grant HQ and Betty Glover. There's been a goal at Bramall Lane.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, but we have got a massive update from Chloe Grant. We spoke to her earlier in the year, didn't we, about her journey, getting sponsorship, trying to get a drive for the season. Not only has she got a seat racing in the GB4 Championship, go on, Chloe, with KMR Sport, but she's also got herself on the podium.
Hey guys, it's Chloe Grant here. I've just got home from Ilton Park from round one of GB4 and I've secured my first podium. I got second place. Fantastic way to end the first weekend with zero testing, and I mean, this was my fourth day in the car, so yeah, I think it's a really good positive way to end round one and go into round two at Silverstone more confident. And of course, just a huge thank you to my family and all my sponsors, Laser Tools Racing, John Clark Motor Group and Specsavers, for all their support. And of course, a huge thank you to the Fast and the Curious and everyone listening to the podcast. Your support has been absolutely incredible, and I thank you guys. Thanks, bye.
Huge news for Chloe Grant and her fans. We are included in that. We are very much her fans. Maybe we're the first of the fan club. Maybe.
I don't think we are. When she first came on the podcast, she said that somebody cried because they had a picture taken with her. No, we are.
That was me.
If anything, late to the party.
So this is great. So let's have a quick recap as to what GB4 Championship is and what she's actually just achieved, Christian.
It is a British motor racing series. In old money, for any motor racing geeks out there, it's sort of British Formula 4. And Chloe got a podium in the last race of the weekend. Several races happened throughout the weekend, a bit like F1 Academy. So it was round one of the season last weekend. And then the final race of the weekend, she led the race for 5 laps, got fastest lap before finishing second. And her team, KMR, are leading the championship at the moment. Chloe's 7th overall. And the next race in that series is at Silverstone on the 27th of April.
Amazing. That's really cool. So we'll keep following the career of Chloe Grant closely and keenly. It'd be really lovely to see her thrive in that environment. Maybe this is the environment where she feels most comfortable, best supported. Maybe this is finding her feet slowly but surely.
And if she wins the title as a special gift, Greg will give her his Tracy Ireland set as a well done.
I love Chloe, but not that much.
No, sure. Oh.
Congratulations to Chloe. Lovely picture of her hugging her sister, who obviously works very closely with her. And everyone was in tears, and just a really good news story to finish off today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Sebastian Vettel for being our special guest. You can catch up on all the Formula One stuff by following us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, blah, 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 Fast Curious Pod. Watch these episodes in full, in glorious Technicolor and HD on YouTube. Yes,
and
Christian.
Can I say on that? Yeah, I'm loving that now we've got on YouTube some of our sort of archive. So like the bit interviews we did at Silverstone with like Lando and Oscar have gone on now. So if there's bits you missed from before, and like Lea Block as well, and Checo, like those interviews are now up there as well, the sort of Fast Curious archive, including Greg getting told off by Oscar and going viral, of course. That was funny. Lando's chat where he said he made eggs with Daniel Ricciardo. It's all up there on the podcast's YouTube channel. Just search for The Fast and the Curious.
All right, guys. Well, enjoy the Japanese Grand Prix. Hope you... Are we all waking up for it? What are we doing? What's the plan?
No. Time delay.
I'm getting up for it.
All right.
And I won't post any spoilers this time, Greg, okay?
Juicy pod today.